Less than 10% of the federal workforce is under the age of 30, but a lot of young people actually want to work for the government. You just need to figure out a way to help them get in the door. Tim McManus is Vice President for Education and Outreach at the Partnership for Public Service. Now, you have some data now from the National Association of Colleges and Employers. They talked to more than 37,000 students from more than 600 colleges and universities. That is what they call in the business, I believe, Tim, a good sample size, right?
That's a good sample size.
And what did we find when we looked at this data, my friend?
So I think before we go to the data, I think, you know, the way that you started off this conversation, Francis, is a really important one, which is if you look at the overall U.S. workforce, 23% of the overall U.S. workforce is under the age of 30. If you look at government, that's only 8.5%. And that's, and the reason I go back to that is that's actually critical for government to address. And this isn't about age. This is about different ideas and different approaches to addressing critical issues. And if you don't have those different viewpoints, those different approaches, those different work styles, you know, you're never going to come to the best solution. So government has to do a better job of ensuring that we're bringing in talent at a lot of different levels and mirroring the U.S. workforce a little bit better. So what did we find with this? Well, a couple of things. First, if you look at, you know, there's always a question about are young people even interested in government? And particularly, you know, when you stack on or layer on things like sequestration and budget cuts and furloughs and no pay increases and, you know, the list goes on and on and on. And the great thing is that by and large, these young people are still very interested in government. So if you look at those that ranked, different industries by their top three industries that they'd want to live in or work in, almost a quarter of students indicated that government would be one of their top three choices. And yes, that's down a little bit, down from the year before by a little bit where it was about 30%. But again, largely people are interested in looking at government. That's the good news in this. One of the bad news scenarios in here, and I think there are a few other bad news scenarios, but not ones that we can't be overcome, is when you look at some of the data around, you know, do they know about how to find federal employment? Do they know where to look for jobs? Everything else. There's some really kind of disturbing information just in terms of USAjobs.gov itself. So, you know, that's where government posts jobs. That's where most people apply for jobs through. Only 8.8% of the students reported job searching on USAjobs. So, again, they don't even know that's where they're supposed to go to look for federal jobs. So you've got a cohort who's interested and wants to look at government, but they don't even know where to go to access those government jobs to begin with.
Well, there's another possibility there, Tim, and that possibility is, as Catherine Archuleta told my colleague Jason Miller yesterday, you heard it on this program, maybe they know that it's there. They just don't like to use it because that's just not how you and I talked many times about how millennials do fill in the blank. And there's 80 million surveys and research projects and books and white papers and all of this trying to understand this group of people like it's like they're aliens from another planet. Maybe the element here is that USAjobs.gov doesn't work for the way that they find jobs in other fields, and so it doesn't appeal to them as a way to look for work in the federal government.
So I think you and Director Archuleta are probably onto something there, which is the process itself still is not as conducive as it should be for not only young people, but anybody really to kind of navigate the system. I think when we look at some of the other data in here, though, I think there is a broader issue simply about awareness and where they go to find this. So, you know, again, we say that young people are pretty savvy in using social networking and everything else. This actually showed that 17.3% of these students actually looked at LinkedIn, for instance, as a site that they'd visit for career information. So again, you've got folks using other means. Career Builder, Monster were some of the others that were named and were high on there. USA Jobs ranked behind those things, though, even in terms of going to search for job information. So the first thing you have to do is drive that interest in my thinking as well. You've got their interest. Now what you have to do is drive that interest to find out how you navigate the system. If they can't even, if the system, They can't navigate the system if they don't even know where to go. And
yeah.
I think that is actually part of the problem. So we've got to focus more attention on that, driving the people to where they can find out about the jobs in the first place. And then second, create a system and a structure that's easier to navigate in and of itself.
The message situation here is the most interesting part of this to me, Tim. I'm going to talk about the Affordable Care Act, and I'm not going to talk about the politics about it at all, but the administration's made a really intense effort to recruit people, coincidentally, in the same age cohort to buy health insurance through the Affordable Care Act. And the numbers haven't borne out the fact that that effort has been successful. And so it strikes me that thinking about how to get them, we're in the same boat here. We have behavior that we want a certain group of the people in this country to participate in one case, buy health insurance, in the other case, get a job with the federal government because they're young and really talented and have a lot to offer. And so it seems to me that we should be very careful and very precise about how we're going to put that message out there. Is that fair to say?
I think that's exactly right. And know that, part of this, I think, is to, where they're going. So, again, LinkedIn was actually the number one place. Again, 17% of them said where they would go to look at for career information. So, what's that networking? It really is about networking, I think, in terms of where they go to get their information. They're going to clearly a LinkedIn site or a social media site because it is in and of itself a networking site, right? So that's where they're finding information. I think that you have to look. They're looking at ways that are maybe non-traditional to some of us who may be more experienced. But for them, that actually is the way that they look for things. So again, I think we do have to think a little bit about absolutely how we get the message out and what the message is as well. And I think that's actually where some of the upside comes with some of this data as well, in terms of what these students actually indicated were really important characteristics or job attributes that were important to them in finding a first job. So, we tend to think, well, the reason that we're not attracting talent is because pay and compensation isn't what it is in the private sector. You know what? What we've actually found from this NACE survey is that pay and compensation isn't the number one issue. And by the way, it's not even in the top three or four or five. So how do we actually make sure that we're talking about the jobs that we actually have available in a way that actually resonate with what students are looking for? First and foremost, almost 92%, Francis, almost 92% of all of these 37,000 students said that their number one attribute that they look for is an organization that offers opportunity for personal growth and development. Okay, so I look around a lot of different things and I say, wow, doesn't that opportunity exist within government in a big way as well? Give people stretch opportunities, give them the opportunity to grow and develop. And that doesn't mean quote unquote training dollars. That means on the job training, opportunity to deepen their knowledge, their understanding, everything else. Government's got that. The second is actually an organization that offers job security. Again, we can debate whether or not there's too much job security, too less jobs, not enough job security in government. But clearly, I think, again, government could, government is, while it may grow and shrink a little bit over time, there are some, it's fairly constant. Again, they are looking at good benefits packages. They are looking at places. Here's where we start looking at what do we need to do as managers and leaders as well to kind of change the environment that we have within our agencies. Number four on the list, 75%, there is recognition for good performance. And right behind that is there are clearly defined assignments. I think that's actually something that, again, if we're looking at what the job market wants from a job, we have to make sure that that's actually what we're delivering on as well. And that's the culture and environment that we're creating. So, again, I think there's some really good signs with this. And there's some areas that we can actually capitalize to make sure that we've got an opportunity to bring these folks in.
Tim McManus of the Partnership for Public Service. The most compelling of those, in my view, of what the government has to offer is that very first one, the career development. I mean, I know people in the government who are under 40 and even under 30 who are very frank and saying, there's no way if I would have gone into the public or into the private sector that I would have had the authority that I have, that I would have moved as quickly as I have moved because I had an opportunity to demonstrate what I could do, all of that. I mean, and that's the number one thing that's in this data.
Yeah, and again, I think oftentimes we actually don't push that enough when we're trying to quote unquote sell government to potential employers, is that opportunity that they have. And again, oftentimes I think what we see or think about when we say personal growth and development, what we think is training, right? Formal training. And again, we can argue whether or not there's enough training, there's too little training, everything else within government, particularly in constrained budget times. But it's not just about the formal training, it's the level of responsibility and engagement in actually dealing with issues that help you grow and develop along the way. And you're absolutely right. We hear that every day. We hear it clearly from our SAMMY's finalists and nominees as well, that they would have never had this opportunity to do the things that they've done in government in the private sector. And I think that's an area that clearly, again, students are looking for, government offers. We need to make sure that we're at the top of the mountain yelling that and making sure that people understand that they've got that opportunity through government service.
There's no silver bullet for this. I get that, Tim. But is there maybe a cheat sheet that agencies can apply to try to get some of these things done, given we're in a tight budget environment, given that maybe not everybody's back on the hiring train yet, for sure?
Yeah, so I think there are a couple of things. One is, you know, figure out really what your employees, we've talked about this before, you know, as part of your own employee engagement thing, which is the great thing is as you're looking at this, as you're bringing new people on, it also helps engage your current workforce as well. Again, this training and development thing is that if that's what people are looking for, you know, it doesn't cost you anything to change the way that you talk about what the job offer is at your agency. Right? So focus on the things that actually matter when you're having conversations, particularly with young people, about what this job and what your agency has to offer. Second is, I think you really have to capitalize on your internship programs as well. And that was one of the other clear findings in here as well. If you look at data around internships, 46% of those that had a federal internship said that they would accept a full-time offer if it was provided to them. But less than 20% were actually offered. If you look at what that comparison is to the private sector, 27% of those who had internships were actually offered. So again, I don't believe we're fully utilizing internships as a direct pathway in. We're providing it as a great way to get experience and a work experience, but we're not looking at it as a pipeline in. We've got to actually capitalize on those folks who are coming in as interns to look at them as full-time employees long-term. And clearly the new pathways programs actually allow that because they provide the opportunity to convert those folks to full-time employment. So there are a couple of things that, frankly, might there be a little bit of dollars and cents attached to it? Yes. But again, I think we've also got to look at the long-term upside that those opportunities provide as well.
Excellent insight as always, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Tim McManus of the Partnership for Public Service. You can find a link to the data from the report that Tim talked about, and you can hear my conversation with Tim later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.